Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, 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 everyone. I am Charisse Alexander, your host of Sacred Leadership with Charisse. On today's show, I'm exploring what happens when life asks us to start over again with my guest, Andrew Brummer. Not from defeat, but from devotion. Leadership is often measured by success, status, and control. But what if the true path of leadership begins with surrender? In this conversation, I'm sitting down with Andrew, a fractional executive, author, and mentor who rebuilt his life and career from the ground up at the age of 53. Through what he calls radical service, Andrew discovered that giving freely from the heart can transform fear into purpose and breakdown into breakthrough. Together, we intend to unpack how to lead with authenticity, vulnerability, and courage, especially when the path ahead isn't clear. Andrew's story invites us to redefine what success means and to remember that leadership at its core is an act of service. If you've ever faced reinvention, burnout, or the quiet ache of knowing there's more that you're meant to do, this episode will speak directly to your soul. Andrew, welcome. Thank you for joining. I don't want to tell everybody everything about you, so I'm going to turn it over to you so you can share a little bit more about your journey to this point in time.
Thanks, Charisse. Thank you for having me on your show here. Yeah, it's been quite the journey. You know, it's been a 20-month really humbling, eye-opening, vulnerable journey. Got to learn a lot about myself, a lot about society, a lot about people. Financially tough year in terms of trying to get commercials moving, but from a growth perspective has been fantastic. I've grown more in the past 20 months than I think I have in nearly all of my career.
Well, we usually grow the most when we are faced with challenges. So you had to start over at 53. Do you want to take us back a little bit in time and tell us about what got you to the point that we needed to rebuild, and then we can dive into some of the burning questions I have.
Absolutely. So I'll try to keep it short. I have bounced around inside a business all of my life. I don't recommend it to anyone. I've bounced around from business to tech, back to business, back to tech. It was kind of the what is it that needs to be done? How does it get done? And then why do you care? That journey took me through everything in a software technology services, professional services company, from data to coding to project management, process optimizations, organizational change, HR, IP, sales. Just I have had the privilege of exploring a lot, which makes me very useful as a business advisor for business owners. That journey resulted in me in 2017, 2015, getting involved with LifeCue. The CEO is a really good, really close friend of mine, and he asked me to get involved and help him get eyes in the organization of what was going on. So it was a great journey in 2020. Just as COVID hit, the organization had to do a massive scale down from about 120 people down to, I think it was somewhere around 40 people. That at that stage, I took over the executive position of the CEO. COO, CHRO, Chief People Officer, just everything related to whatever nobody else wanted to do. And in fact, my team coined the title for me. And then forward wind 5 years, the CEO came to me, was March of last year. He came to me and said to me, Andrew, if we don't find investor funding, we're probably going to have to wind the company down. And I had spent 9-10 years walking away from something I was really good at. And I was like, what on earth do I do with myself now? And I'd done what every American or every professional had done. I got comfortable. I didn't maintain my networks. And he said to me, Andrew, I just don't know what's going to happen here. That night, I can remember that night like it was yesterday. I went to sleep, or the little sleep that one can get. I went into male sulk mode, which we all know is really beautiful. And I woke up the next morning, did my budgets, looked at the family and said, guys, we're in trouble. Let's pack the house. So we half packed the house. And that afternoon, you know, that weekend got moving, got planning, and got busy redefining what tomorrow looks like.
I love it. I know that that's really challenging, but it's almost like at the same time, while you and your family were changed, like experiencing all this massive change, it's kind of also an opportunity to completely reinvent and redefine what's really important. And I imagine that's exactly what you had done with this opportunity. So tell us a little bit about that.
So the very first thing, I knew 10 people in Atlanta that could do anything for me. That weren't, let me rephrase that, were in a position that they may be able to do anything for me. So I knew nobody. My network was insignificant. I didn't know what I was going to be good at being an executive. I did not know what I would then take to market. So the very first thing I started doing was volunteering. Volunteering at a professional coach level. So I got onto two websites. One is called ADP List and the other is PushFar. And both of them are volunteer websites where you can make yourself available in a professional capacity, but for free, with people that are looking for insights, your skills, your insights, your knowledge. That was fantastic. Dealing with people across the world, literally across the world, from Iraq to Australia to Bulgaria, Venezuela, Brazil, Botswana, Nigeria, UK, Canada, USA, just everywhere. It was just an absolute privilege to work with people who, for the most part, there was nothing that they could personally do in return for me. What I got out of it was more than I think any one of the, some of them could have done for me. It was that self-awareness of what I'm really good at, what I magnetically draw people into, the excitement, the love for life, for people, how you help draw people out. I found I'm really, really good at bringing the best out in people of themselves. I don't profess at all to invent it. I just am really good at drawing people out and helping them find the exciting part, the best part of themselves, and helping them rediscover themselves. That journey got me involved into being very self-aware, not, as I said, not receiving anything, but I grew an awful, awful, awful lot in what I did. And I would encourage anyone that is at any level of a profession, get involved in professional volunteering in the space that you aspire to be in. So if you're going to be want, if you're working yourself to get somewhere in 2, 3 years' time, start volunteering in that space now. Start mentoring, do your homework. Start networking in that space now, so you're ahead of the curve of where you want to go. If you network and mentor in or coach in where you are today, when you pivot, you will be pivoting with people who you're going to have to walk away from, not people that you're going to walk into. So that was an eye opener. And from then, life got crazy. I'll just give you the short version. I've written two books, Leading Magnanimously and You Decide. I have coached, I think, somewhere around 15 startups in helping get themselves ready. I've and not just get the pitch decks ready, but become the executives they are in the company that they own. How do you help someone become just be in a room and instead of begging people for money, actually be in the room where you own your company, you own what it is, and people want to engage with you, they want to invest because you're representing it so beautifully. And it changes that mentality. The mind shift is, I have something fantastic that you want to invest in, and I would love you to be invited to be part of my journey versus the other way around, where we typically go in and we're like, please, I need your money, I need the money, I need the time. And I've mentored a lot of people. And that eventually I was a fractional COO, but that was quite difficult. Finding a CEO that actually will allow a temporary person to come in and kind of take the reins of the company. So I've swiveled, pivoted that into being a fractional CEO, interim CEO, and that has worked fantastically. I'm now mentoring and coaching, I think it's four or five CEOs from Europe to South America.
Thank you for that. There's a lot that you said in there that I kind of want to unpack. But before we go back, I just want to, for the audience, what exactly does a fractional C? I mean, I totally understand why a fractional COO would be really challenging, but I didn't even actually know that there was the opportunity to be a fractional CEO. How does that work? And for the audience who might not know what a fractional CEO is, can you elaborate?
Yeah, so fractional or interim CEO is basically where you have a CEO in a company that needs handholding. So you're going to walk along with them and kind of help them co-run the company. or you have a CEO that drops out for medical, personal health, financial reasons, and the company needs somebody to temporarily step in while the board looks for a full-time person to take it over. Or where you have an M&A that's M&A, private equity or venture capital, where they've got a startup, the founder or this the founder's not really the CEO, they're really good technologists. We know that really good technologists don't necessarily make the best leaders to help drive leadership and push things forward. So you'd step in a temporary capacity to help coach and allow the organization to find people or someone to fit in that function as a full-time capability. I get bored really quickly, so I don't know that me slotting into a full-time role is an efficient use of my mind or time. I would just get antsy.
Yeah, I bet. As you shared in the very beginning, like all of your vast experience through all those various functions throughout the course of your career, I found it really interesting that you said that you were trying to figure out what you were good at as an executive and that you really struggled to like fit, and which I found really interesting because you talked about HR, you talked about being a COO, you talked about IT and project management and all this stuff, and you still struggle to figure out what you were good at.
I knew I was good. I'm very good at a lot of things. The problem is you can't market yourself being very good at a lot of
Yeah.
things. You have to figure out what is that. What's that nugget of message? So the soft landing the past 20 months has allowed me to learn into what I am fantastic at and what I am really good at leaning into, and that is the fractional or interim CEO and CEO coaching and advising. I was working with a CEO just last week. He said to me, "Andrew, I've never been more prepared, more ready, more informed on my own decisions, whether it's internal operations, product, or customer go-to-market. Never been more ready than since I started engaging with you and started working with you." And that's in a short 6 to 8 week window of working with a gentleman. It's fascinating. CEOs are humans, and it's fascinating working with someone and then learning their challenges they're going through, and in a non-biased, I don't sell additional services. So I'm not a threat. I'm not there trying to poke holes and find something I can sell something else into, which makes me a really, really, really great utility for a CEO to have some really beautiful discussions. And I do them with grace and compassion, but I'm able to draw in some very, very deep topics, very deep, that you would not think a CEO would cover.
Yeah, and what a beautiful I love the where you've actually landed because with our journey, I work for Watt Renewable Corporation, and a lot of what you said really resonated, especially when you were talking about, you're on this hunt for money, right? You're out there, you're literally door knocking, and that energy that you talk about, where it's like, please work with me, please, I've got something really great, I promise you, right? And then if you can like really empower the leadership team and help begin to build a leadership team where they can really stand in that power and just know we've got a solid leadership team, we've got a great product, or we've got a great service, and what we're offering you is the privilege of getting in on the ground floor. So fantastic. Hats off to you to like being able to open yourself up to really offer that service in the marketplace where it's absolutely needed. So kudos to you, Andrew, with that.
What's fascinating in all of the lessons I've learned as dealing with so many people from so many different countries, they're all dealing with the same problem. They all want relevancy. They all want identity. They all want to be valued. They all want to be able to put food on their table with their children. They're all looking for career evolution and career advancement. They're all looking for life growth. No matter whether they're sitting in Rwanda, Nigeria, Venezuela, Brazil, India, it's all the same. Now,
Beautifully
when you
put.
get into local culture, that's a whole different story because everything changes then.
Oh, that's awesome. We are going to go to break. And when we get back, Andrew and I will continue our conversation on how to surrender and becoming the gateway, how surrender becomes the gateway to true leadership. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspire Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, everyone, to Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I am joined by Andrew Brummer. And today we are talking about how surrender becomes the gateway to true leadership. So in the first segment, Andrew was giving us all the background and all of his experience in the corporate world, from IT to project management to HR to, I mean, pretty well everything, and ultimately found himself in a position where he needed to reinvent himself. So I did want to go back a little bit, and you had mentioned when, you know, you were faced with this challenge, and really, I think you said it started about 20 months ago. So so that would have been right in basically 2023. Yeah. Of 2023. Is that right? Of 2024. Yeah. What have you found has been the struggle, I suppose, in that surrender piece, right? Because we're talking about how you ultimately have to surrender to find the true gateway to leadership. What was the biggest and most difficult thing for you to actually surrender?
So I'm not a morning person. So I would say the journey has been so transformationally learning. I don't know that much has been actually, let me correct that. I am a contextual recluse. So what that means is when I go to a conference, if I am doing booth duty at a conference, I can have great discussions with people, fantastic discussions. And I will help people figure out, I can go meet a new customer tomorrow and I can help them figure out what is the problem they're trying to solve and how to go to markets and how to implement it, how to make it real. But given that I met those same people at an evening event at that conference, I cannot engage with the person. I just can't even walk up and greet them and talk. So that contextual recluse, and it makes no sense because I, you know, over Christmas, I do Christmas lights in my house and I have a show that is here and I've got, you know, visitors and guests that come over and I get to meet a lot of people, all religions, all countries in my house. I've been doing it since 2016. And I just meet and engage with everyone here. So it makes no sense that I have this stupid fear of engaging with people where I don't know what it is, why I can't just walk up. That has been difficult. And I had a sales guy, a CRO. I do a lot of networking, an awful lot of networking. And I had a CRO on one of my Zoom calls that I met. And he said to me, Andrew, everybody's as nervous as you are. Just walk up to them, out your hand and say, my name's Andrew. I don't know that we've met, or my name's Andrew. What do you like about the conference? That has been tough, really, 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 really difficult. The part I thought would be the most hard was new routines, new patterns, new mindsets. But I have come to, my mom always taught me when I was younger, that she said, Andrew, your life is always going to be in front of you and people are always going to take advantage. And I had a fairly interesting childhood, as we all have. And she just said to me, Andrew, no one's going to fix anything. You need to get in front of it. This whole mindset. And that came out in this journey of waking up and changing patterns, waking up 30 minutes earlier to write the books, waking up an hour earlier to go walking every morning and focus on health and wellness. So I thought mindset and patterns was going to be tough, but it wasn't. It was stupid networking. It's like, really.
I want to invite you to have some grace and compassion for yourself, because the truth of the matter is, you were talking about why it was like it's so easy for everyone, but the truth is like I don't think it's that easy for everyone. I mean, you've got your bucket of people who are natural extroverts, but I often say to people, I'm like, I'm really an introvert. It might not seem like I'm an introvert, but I am really, and like you, I'm very comfortable in nice one-to-one conversations. It takes a lot for me to want to get up in front of other people. So I have to say to you, have some grace and compassion. And we're all people just walking around on this giant rock trying
You're spot
to,
on.
exactly. So you're not alone, is the point that I wanted
I
to get
learned
at.
that. I did learn that. It's been quite, again, one of those, just one of the many lessons I've learned through these past 20 months.
Yes, excellent. Now, you talk about radical service, and you were talking about this here in the first segment in relation to like volunteering, and that was actually the first thing that you had done. So you talk about professional service and radical, and like how that's kind of a radical service is like the pathway to like leadership as well. Let's dive into that a little bit. What does that really mean to you?
So as we all know, effective leaders are servants. We serve other people, and by serving other people, you get obstacles out their way. You help them cross chasms that they never thought they could. You expose them and help them fail at things and fail gracefully and safely. And you help them recover and you protect them. When I stepped in to do this, it really was focusing and saying, when I was younger, I used to do a lot of volunteer stuff, an awful lot of volunteer stuff in South Africa where I was born. I did a lot of volunteer work in and around the professional space, the off-road rescue, just a whole bunch of things. And that kind of went away as I was working in the US trying to work through the H-1B process. And then when I had the citizenship, I got comfortable and lazy. And I've slotted into what most human beings do is everything is okay. I don't need to worry. I've got control of this thing. And then it came around and slapped me. And I, for a lot of reasons, I think volunteering and engaging and serving is important. As a leader, it's super important that you get out of your team's way and serve them and help them and look after them. As a human being, it's super important that you find ways in which you can help. The world's in a very funky spot right now. It's kind of really odd spot. How can you step in your small way? Because there's no big thing that's going to change anything right now. It's all small matters of kindness, of grace, of leaning in and helping and nudging people forward. And how do you, as a professional, if you're a project manager or a UX UI developer, or you are a supply chain optimizations person, or you're in finance, how do you take your skills and help the generational divide kind of find itself and bring itself back together? How do you help this younger generation? Don't tell them how to do what they need to do, but share the life wisdoms of things that they need to avoid and do a shared learning. And by doing that, we get rid of the ageism myth or perception that is out there. But it really just is leaning in. And I've heard a lot of people say, don't volunteer in the space that you are a profession at. I think everything has got so complex now. It doesn't just help that you're driving bagels around and, restocking food pantries and that. You have to take a step back and say, how can I help the generational divide narrow itself? How can I help it bring itself together? And how can I help people that want to learn, that want a different tomorrow? Because if people don't want a different tomorrow, then nothing you're skilled at is going to make it any difference whatsoever. But how do you surround yourself and how do you get involved with people to help them find their new version of tomorrow?
I think part of the challenge with helping people see a potentially different vision of tomorrow is that, I mean, let's just be honest, things feel really bleak right now. It doesn't matter what corner of the world you're in. And if you're the youth, how do you paint that picture, right? It's like, how do you help them have hope, realistically speaking? And I mean, I totally understand what you're saying. And when I'm speaking with my own team, it's and it has to be genuine, right? Because some people could really misunderstand what like servitude leadership means, what servant type of leadership means. And what it really means for me anyways is like, I'm here to serve you, right? I am here to, as you just talked about, you know, lend my experience, my wisdom, and never in a condescending way, but more in the way of like, there's always an exchange of teacher and student. And sometimes you're going to teach me something and sometimes I'm going to teach you something. But my little bit of age on you, just by sheer having a few more years on this planet, is going to offer you something that you might not have considered. Do you find like that, and not to make this about geographical location, but do you find that it is a global challenge, or is it specific? Okay, yes, and that's definitely what I've heard.
No, absolutely. I think, you know, COVID forced us all. COVID was fantastic because it caused the younger generation to think differently without being browbeat or being forced to think the way we have thought all this time. So what's come out is a really, really cool set of ways of executing, of doing things, of thinking, of engaging. There's some very, very, very novel ways that for a Gen Xer would be completely misplaced.
Mm.
You've got these worlds that have now come together in such a beautiful way. And the key is finding, how do you pair, just using a Gen Xer or a baby boomer as an example, how do you pair them with a Gen Z or a millennial? And how do you find people that are actually going to find one another and talk through things and walk that? I love working with the younger generation. Technology has become so relevant to me in what I do in operations. And because I've immersed myself with all these younger adults, I've learned very quickly how to use and maximize AI, how to use. I don't know enough about AI. I know enough to be dangerous. But what I've taken is my wisdom of how I've done organizational and everything I've done in the company. And I'm now being taught by these young adults of different ways of applying the same philosophies, the same approaches, using technology, social relationships, words that matter. How do you create leadership structures that empower and bring out the best in people versus put somebody down and say, well, I know better than you. And, you know, whether you're that Gen Z or millennial, or you're the Gen X, saying, well, I know better than you on this topic, so therefore you need to listen to me. But how do you break through that cycle? So it's been fantastic for me to learn, drinking from the fire hose of how do these worlds come together, which eventually got me to the mantra that I'm at right now, is, you know, I am very good at planting seeds that will grow trees that I will never sit under. Very good at that. I'm very good at that. But I'm not good at that because of me. I'm good at that because I'm open-minded to say that all of the methods, know-how, knowledge that I've gained over time is still applicable today completely, just done differently, using different words, with different levels of respect and different levels of compassion and care and engagement.
I love what you just said. I am very good at planting seeds for the trees I will never sit under. And that is a very different type of leadership. And it's the type of leadership, quite frankly, is required for today, because what you're talking about is succession or legacy. It means that I might not necessarily benefit from these seeds that I'm planting. But I think that realistically speaking, if we look at where we are today in businesses and the education system and the healthcare and government, we've lost that exact sentiment of, it's not about me. It's about future generations and legacy and succession, so that there can actually legitimately be, you know, a sustainable tomorrow. So I love that. Thank you for, I'm going to use it. I'm just going to tell you right now. I'll quote you, but I'm going to use it. And so with that, like, what has been like maybe, you know, what has been the most effective way for you, and globally, right? Because you did say this is not geographically an issue. This is something that is really quite global in terms of bridging that gap. Where have you been able to find like the most success? Because the other thing you talked about was the cultural considerations that you need to make in the various different environments that you're working in.
Yeah. So really tough one. So with the folk that are international, my mom taught me to accept and love people as they are, not to try and stereotype them, and to try and avoid social scope or social definition around any one person, and allow that person to show up the way that person wants to show up, and accept and foster and drive them as much as you can into that. So I had a really good foundation of life where my mom helped me think. I mean, she probably browbeat it into me every day of my life. And I thank her for it. I edify her the whole time about it. I've learned a lot as a result of that. So when I get on with somebody, the very first thing I do is I move it away, any discussion on Zoom or whether it's Zoom face to face. I move the discussion as quickly away as I can from a what do you do? What's your profession? What are you trying to? I move it completely away into a dialogue, because what I don't want to do is to get into a question and answer session. You want to the most inspiring, most where people feel heard, where they experience themselves to be present, to be heard, to be relevant, and to be valued, is where you can remove the, if I could call it the Facebook page, and get real with people. You used it earlier, the authenticity. If there's one thing I'm terribly guilty of, it's being authentic. I just be as authentic as you can. People feel it, they can smell it through
Yeah,
the
it's true.
digitals, they can smell it. And help the person get to a point that it is a discussion and we're talking about one another. And oh, what we do on the work side, that's important and let's help. But if you don't have the context, you have no idea of what I've been through in life. No idea whatsoever. It doesn't matter how I show up for you here. You have no idea what I've been through, and I have no idea what you've been through. So for me to prejudge or precast based on stereotyping, et cetera, what I do is I do the discussion a disservice, because now I come in to the discussion of the predisposed notion of who are you, what are you about, and why are you doing what you're doing, versus allowing you to show up right now and say, who are you? What do you believe in? What's your life purpose? What's your 2, 5, 10 year dream? And how are you driving that dream? How are you owning that? And if you're not, just be comfortable with being part of somebody else's dream. And it's not a bad thing, because some people don't build their own dreams, but be comfortable being part of somebody else's dream and vision and hope. So there's so much soft stuff that goes in when you can help someone feel that they are heard. I can't tell you how many calls I get off, and the person says, Andrew, I had no idea what we were going to talk about, but I have not had such a meaningful, valuable discussion in a long time, in a very long time. Yeah, I've had people in tears. I've had people celebrating and screaming for joy. I've had follow-on coaching sessions with people to help to be there, to be an ear for them, to help them walk through challenges. You just never know the small words you're going to use and what the downstream consequence of that is, whether that's in 5 minutes' time or in 5 years' time. You just don't know. You don't know.
I love that. Very heart-centered leadership, which we're going to talk about a little bit more when we come back from our next break. We will be continuing the discussion around how surrender leads to is the gateway to, oh my gosh, we're coming back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome, welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network. I am joined by Andrew Brummer, and today we are chatting about how surrender becomes the gateway to true leadership. And in the previous segments, Andrew was sharing a lot about his journey to this point in time, his vast experience in the corporate world from IT to project management to human resources to, I think you've done, it sounded like you did everything except for finance.
Well, I do the business finance forecasting, and so I did the finance as well.
Okay, so you know, he's done it all. He's done it all. And at 53, Andrew had to, well, he was forced. We'll say the universe forced him out of his comfort zone and thrust him into a world of chaos, and he needed to reinvent himself. And today is a fractional CEO and an author and a coach and a mentor and many, many other roles. But right before break, Andrew, you were talking really a lot about heart-centered leadership and really coming into these experiences with the COOs that you ultimately mentor, and really trying to, instead of just asking a lot of back and forth, like an interview style of conversation, really trying to help them drop their own mask and give them permission to show up authentically and holding space for them to be very, very vulnerable within that. Now, that is, I would say, new style of leadership. But you're the people, your mentees, or, you know, the folks that you're working with have really found a lot of value in that. So I guess what I would ask is, like, that's a lot of giving that you would be doing, right? How do you balance that giving so freely? I mean, it's not free, but you get where I'm going with this, so that you're not depleting yourself within that process, if you understand what my question really is. Yeah,
I think I had the privilege that my mom must have dropped me in a pot of caffeine when I was a kid, because I just have, you know, my kids will say to me, "Dad, just stop, take a breath." I am blessed that I love people. I have a boundless amount of energy to give. For me, every discussion is a brand new discussion. I approach every discussion like it's the first one of the day. And when you have that mindset, you cannot but create energy around yourself. You cannot but infectious. It's infectious. It influences people. It drives people. It engages people. When you show up and you're deliberate and you're present and you're right there with the person, and you're engaged and you're looking in the eye and you're really interested in what they're doing and what they're saying, and you have no agenda, you have no outcome, that you're just trying to help the person. And if the person's not ready to be helped, then you just acknowledge, well, they're not ready, and you kind of move on, or you figure out where it goes. But it just, for me, I really don't have a good answer for why. I just believe that we all have the choice when we get out of bed to put our foot on the ground. Mm-hmm. And the balance of the day is up to you. We all have our difficulties, and maybe financial or relationships, and I'm not minimizing any challenges that anyone has faced at all. What I am saying is, it is a mindset for you to wake up every morning when I get off a Zoom with you and get onto the next one. It is a mindset to say that next call is the very first call of the day, and that next person, I'm going to do everything I can to make them feel like this is the most magnificent experience that they've been through. A lot of it comes down, if you've been to a music concert and you've seen somebody like Neil Diamond on stage, and you see someone like that presenting something, you know, they've been on stage for 70 years of their life, 60 years of their life. Mm-hmm. And to walk away from that event, to feel like that was their very first event, that's not about Neil, it's not about me, it's about the person that you're engaging with, and how do you show up for that person as deeply and richly as you can? Because you, again, I'll just go back to, you just never know what rubs off on you in that discussion onto that person and what they take away from it and what they do with the experience they've just had with you. You just don't know.
So it sounds to me, and I couldn't agree with you more, and I think that we've all had the experience where you're having a rough day and you have the opportunity to help someone. I personally always find that if I'm having a tough day and I get the opportunity to help somebody with their problem, I feel loads better.
The mind shift.
Yeah, 100%. I love it. It's just like it, because it totally takes you away from whatever you're stuck in and moves you over to someone else.
Because it comes about them, not about you.
You're
able to engage with that person and arrive for that person and help that person. And when we do that, we get out of our self-pity wallow mode. And again, we all have our challenges. I have a lot of challenges. I've got a lot of that I'm dealing with. But you don't allow it to influence. You can allow it to influence you if you want. But I have a rule. If I'm having a really rough day and I can't surface myself out of it, I will cancel any calls that I've got with people, because it's not right for me to take
It's true.
the energy that I have in the day and to apply it to that person again, because I don't know the one careless sentence or words, combination of words I may use, that that person will walk away with. That won't be constructive. That won't be helpful. That won't be caring, loving, and graceful.
Yeah. And, you know, such an important point that you just made there, where you said, you know, if you really can't get yourself out of it, like the energy of whatever, we'll call it the funk, you will. And I don't imagine that it happens very often, but what a responsible thing to do. It's such a challenge, because, you know, when I'm on Instagram and I'm or LinkedIn or whatever your social media platform is that you love, and it's such a balancing act, because you've got these leaders that talk about drive, drive, do, push, but like this just real grind kind of energy, right? Which is great. But what we're talking about is something a little different here, right? And so when you said that, I was like, oh, I can totally hear some leaders that are like, no, push through, knuckle down, like just nose down and just, but what the detail in that is like, but that's energy. And so now if I can't move myself out of that funk and genuinely be excited to have this new conversation, then I'm actually doing that person a disservice. Because I'm not showing up as my best self.
And the opportunity loss, you just never know what that person knows, what that person's going to teach you on that call. Just think of the opportunity loss. When you go in with a narrow mind, limited because of the experiences that you've had, or the energy that's around you for the day, or because the bad call you just had, or the discussion you just had with your bank. When you go into that call, you just don't know what that person's going to do for you. You just have no idea. The amount of people that were 4, 5 degrees, 6 degrees away from me that I did not know. And my LinkedIn profile has blown up. It's grown by 6,500, 7,000 people. But that's a stupid number. The important number is there are something like 580, 600 people that know my name. They know me. They know I've written 2 books. There are 100 and some odd people that have actually helped pass my book on or introduced me to someone or got me part. There are 16 people that I did not know 20 months ago. I did not know 20 months ago. They were not inside my first, second, third degree ancestral circle that I have around myself, that have done more for me in the last 20 months than probably anyone has in my entire career. And I didn't know these people 20 months ago. It's all mindset. It's how you engage with someone, how you show up, how you serve them, and how you talk in. How you engage with them with an intent to serve them versus an intent to say, I need, I want, please give it.
Yeah. Service first. And I've definitely said on this podcast before that back in my earlier days, I was a mortgage broker. And, mortgage brokers are generally paid by commission. And I always found that if I met with a client with the energy of, what am I going to get out of this? Like, how can I make this deal come together, versus I'm just going to enjoy the experience with the client and I'm going to give them the very best that I can possibly give of myself. Every time it would be like those transactions or those relationships with those clients where I was coming in it with what's in it for me versus the ones which were, how can I serve? Always the ones that were what's in it for me were challenging. They fell apart. The client hated me. Like, yeah. it was like the most painstaking experience. Yeah. So
and you get into your own head, because like these things are tough, and then you just get in your own head and it becomes your own negative spiral there. You know, if you're caring for the person, in part of the company that I was working with, when we had to exit people, I had 24 or 27 people reporting to me. We had to exit them, a lot of them. And when we exited them, I had a bunch of them knocking on the door to say, because you know, exiting someone from a team that is deeply passionate, caring, and loving of itself, to exit someone out of that is really, I mean, it's hard, right? It's really destructive. And when you have, you know, you're doing something right when those team members come to you and say, "When can I come back in? When is the company going to be ready to bring me back in?"
Beautiful.
You know, there's something real about caring for someone, showing up for them, loving them as they are, helping support them, being that trapeze net that catches them when they fall without telling them how they need to do what they need to do. There's something very, very real about this when you've got these people that come back to you and say, "I know you exited me and I know the company's not in a good spot, but I really want to get back in."
I love that. What a beautiful, you're right. Exiting people is so difficult because they're human beings. They're people that you've worked with and, they've got families and there's the whole, all that other stuff, right? And so when you have to exit someone, it's really, really difficult. And I don't think any company is like, oh, yay, we're just gonna slash jobs today.
Yeah.
Like nobody enjoys that, right? So, okay, well, we are gonna head to break now, but I am loving this conversation. I cannot wait to come back and continue to talk about really what I call heart-centered leadership and how surrender becomes the gateway to true leadership. We'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. This is Charisse on Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network. And today I'm joined by Andrew Brummer. We are having such a great conversation. I am super passionate about heart-centered or servant-type leadership. So you are 100% up my alley today with this conversation. What we're really talking about is how surrender becomes the gateway to true leadership. So you had to know that this question was going to come because there are so many leaders out there that just grip control, the elusive idea, the fallacy, the fakeness, the falseness of the idea that we are actually in control. So how do you encourage leaders to surrender and release control and maybe even pivot with the type of leadership that you're talking about? Because honestly, I've worked in a lot of I've worked with a lot of people and a lot of leaders, and the type of leadership that we're talking about, I still think is very new. We're pivoting right now. So how do you get people to understand that this is really the way forward?
So there is no silver bullet on this, and every person is different. I would say the common pattern towards helping get into that discussion is allowing that person to show up the way they want to show up, and as quickly as possible to disarm the discussion. So it's not an interview, it's a discussion, and to disarm the topics so that you can get into and start talking about some deep stuff. Part of that is, depending on the person, it may be asking the right questions. It may be probing in a little bit on where they're at and what they're talking about. It's finding out what their work love language is, what their passions are. Being astute that you're stitching these pieces together that help you figure out, what do they love doing? What do they hate doing? What are they doing? Why are they the only one awake at 2 o'clock in the morning? And then asking them the question, why are you the only one awake at 2 o'clock in the morning? Because if you're in a small business or you're in a startup, and you're the CEO founder and you're chasing revenue, you should not be the only person up at 2 o'clock in the morning. That means there's something else wrong. And the goal in discussions like that is to try and draw the eyes of that person I'm working with to the fact that they are self-inflicting a lot of what they're living. They are, we, the old story of, the old adage of it's lonely at the top is very, very real. And it doesn't happen because the CEO made it lonely at the top, and it doesn't happen because the team decided to not show up. It's kind of a little bit, it's kind of like if you read the book Speed of Trust, it's kind of like trust is not built by any one big event. It's small little micro steps at the same, I take a tiny little step and another tiny one, and you take another tiny one. Being lonely at the top is exactly the same. And the key I found is helping the owner, the person that I'm working with, whether they're just an executive or whether they are the owner of the company, helping them be aware or become self-aware that the things they are doing are causing the organizational divide that's taking place. You're the CEO, you're the COO, CTO, it doesn't matter. You, there are things that help you recognize that you are the divide. And it's like leading children. You as the parents are accountable for making sure the child hears you. You as the parents are the are accountable for making sure that the first course correction behavioral change starts with you, and you demonstrate it, you live it, you show it. As a leader, that is yours too. When you've taught your team to be subservient to your presence, to be codependent on you being around, you have to, one, become self-aware and then start walking in to start exposing the team in very graceful, caring, loving ways that you can then help hold their hands to the point that they're climbing the trapeze poles, ladders by themselves without you telling them, now lift your foot and do the next one, lift your foot and do the next one. And then when they're up there biting your tongue when they're gonna about to do a trick or something, but you gotta just be there. You gotta allow them to get there. But your self-awareness has got to be to the point that I have to stop micromanaging. I have to stop telling them how to do their work. I need to trust. I hire people that I believe can be trained to do their work, and then I get out of their way. And that makes me a multiplier. That makes me as a leader a multiplier, because then I can have, I mean, at the last company I was working with, I think I had 16 functional lines reporting into me, functional areas. And if you said to me, what was the company doing in any one of them at any given point in time, I would have told you, I have no idea. What I will tell you, I've hired people who know what they're doing. And when they run into a brick wall or they don't know what they're doing, they'll come and say, Andrew, this is the problem I need solved. This is what I need you to do. But I don't do their work for them.
I love it.
First thing you
And
can do is get out of their way.
every company wants to get there. Every leader wants, nobody wants to micromanage. Okay, folks. If you think your boss, your leader, your CEO, whoever, your CTO wants to actually do your work, they do not. So we have just a couple of minutes left today. I can't believe the time went by so
Yeah, right.
quickly, but I'm curious. Since your pivot, what is your new definition of success?
Definition of success. Wow. So if you say to me, what does success look like tomorrow? I want to be coaching a bunch of CEOs. I want to be working with some startups and coaching them and helping them find their mojo and their executive presence. And would love to be on a speaking tour. So my goal is to turn this discussion and the books I've written into a speaking tour, and get into the sharing, the multiplying. I'm a multiplier. I'm an inspire. I draw energy and I help people find themselves. And I would love to be able to do that for CEOs, founders, and then for folk at conferences, at events, at corporate events.
I love that. So the speaking tour, is that a goal then for 2026?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why I've done a mass reach out and building my brand. I've got my speaking catalog built up now. I have the web page up and running. I have my speaker reel, which is the most difficult thing to do. So spent a lot of time getting it all together. And 26 is going to be, 25 has been a hard year, but it's been a fantastic year. 26, I think it's just going to blow. It's just going to be amazing. It's just going to be fantastic.
You know why I'm chuckling? Because literally today you were just like, oh, I found it really hard to like network and like do all of this stuff. And now you're like, I'm going on a speaking tour for 2026. You got out of your own way. I think
Yeah,
that's
I
what we
did.
call that.
Just got out of my own way. Got out of my own way.
That is so awesome. So, for our audience, thank you so much for joining me today, Andrew, where we got to talk about how surrender is truly the gateway to leadership. We didn't even get to talk about your books, but it has been fantastic having you on the show today. I cannot wait to have you back again. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.